I ruined so many good relationships. My divorce was a huge wake-up call and the eye-opener I needed to realize I was the common denominator of all my relationship failures. I knew if I didn't address my emotional triggers and develop new coping mechanisms and finally accept that I needed to change myself instead of expecting and even manipulating others to change for me, that I'd never, ever be able to get into a strong, healthy, long-lasting relationship. I teach everything I know about stopping hurtful behavior and showing up as the best version of yourself over at healedbeing.com. Lots of success stories over there. Check it out over at healedbeing.com. Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to the Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now. Hey, this is Paul Coliani, and I want to help you learn the skills you need to deal with life's challenges using emotional intelligence and critical thinking without compromising who you are. This show consists of my personal opinions and is meant for informational purposes only. Always seek a professional for your mental health and well-being. Glad you are with me today. Thanks for showing up. I've got a variety episode today, mostly about romantic relationships. You've probably heard me say this before if you are a regular listener or if you've heard the show before, that most of the messages I receive are about romantic relationships. Some of them are about family. You know, I get quite a few of those. Very rarely I'll get some about coworkers and jobs and things like that where you don't get along with somebody at work. It happens, but I've had episodes on basically every type of relationship that you can have. And there's always something new. There's always something new that comes along and some complex formula or equation that I have to dissect and figure out because some people send me messages that are very difficult. I mean, in their life, it's very difficult for them to figure out what to do, what to say. And sometimes life, well, how can I say this? Sometimes life can be easier when you show up saying what you really think. And sometimes it can be a whole hell of a lot harder. So I won't say that you should always show up as exactly who you are all the time, saying what's on your mind. I think that's a great way to show up in life because you get to find out who really supports you being yourself. I mean, I promote that. I try to do it myself, but do I show up as 100% genuinely, authentically me every single time in every interaction? No, I do not, because there are certain people that I don't want to get into certain conversations with. There are certain topics that I don't really want to talk about or care to put any more energy into. Somebody starts talking about values that they have or their political beliefs or ideas or whatever. And if they differ from mine, am I going to have this conversation? Now, sometimes I will. Sometimes I'll have that conversation. And sometimes, is it worth it? Is it worth trying to prove someone's wrong and that I'm right or show them the way, show them the right way to think? Maybe their right way of thinking is different than mine, of course. That's what happens. Sometimes we have our own set of beliefs and values and ideas and ideals and goals and all that, and it's working for us. And what works for them. Or maybe it doesn't. And maybe we see that it doesn't work for them, and we think that we should espouse our infinite wisdom so that they will learn something new. I've been there. I don't think it's worth going there most of the time because I have learned, and I think I learned this about 15, 20 years ago maybe, I have learned that what I used to believe I was absolutely correct about isn't always true. It hasn't always panned out to my belief. It hasn't fit my belief. It hasn't proven that it's not true in a lot of cases. When I think I know something and it's 100% true at the time I think I know it or believe it, then it gets disproven. Now what? I mean, now what do I do with that? Do I go up and say, hey, I'm wrong? I usually do. I was wrong about that. I'm so sorry. But it's not worth just going out there and saying, I'm 100% right about this, when you might find out in a few years that you weren't. Now, I'm not talking about faith or religion or even politics or nothing like that. I'm talking about general things that we talk about all the time. Sometimes we are very hard and fast on what we think is true. This is what I know to be true, and I'm going to hold on to this truth, and I'm going to tell you this truth because I want you to live a better life, and I want you to be a part of the greater good in the world. We do that sometimes. We want to tell someone how to be a part of the greater good because their belief system may be faulty. This is what we think, at least. This is my opinion on what we think. I believe that we can look at someone and think their belief system is faulty. So I have really eaten crow a lot throughout my life with that belief that I believe other belief systems are faulty. I've had to take a huge step back and realize that I may be 100% wrong. And I learn that, or at least I learn new things every few years. I learn new philosophies, new belief system, or at least a new belief in my belief system. I learn new things that help me to open my mind more, if I'm open to it, which I believe I am. So, you know, some shows that you might listen to, some people that you may watch or read or talk to in person, they may have a firm understanding of their own beliefs and their own values, and they know what they know. They know it 100%. They know it's true. And you may think and feel differently, and you may even say, but I know what I know, and that is opposing what you know. Are you going to get into that conversation? Is it worth it? I've learned that the more I keep my mouth shut, the more I get along with people, the happier my life is, the less stress there is, the less I get involved with different people's problems, different challenges in their life. Not that I don't want to help. In fact, I'm more likely to want to help than not. But who is to say that, A, they're ready to hear what I have to say, B, what I have to say is going to help them anyway, it may not, and C, what if what I have to say hurts them? What if it causes a bigger challenge in their life? Like, what if you're an atheist and you're trying to convince someone of faith that there is no God, and they've been happy this whole time believing in God, and then you finally gave them the last piece of what they needed to change inside themselves to have a new belief system, and it made them unhappy? What if it made them miserable? What if they looked into the sky and thought, wow, now that there's no God, I guess there's nothing more to hope for, nothing to believe in. If this is all there is and we wink out and nothing happens after that, I'm pretty miserable now. And this can work in both ways. Like, what if the atheist suddenly believes in God or is convinced that there is a God? Some of them are going to love it and think, wow, this is great. And some of them are going to think, well, if that's true, then everything I'm doing is a sin. Now I'm going to go to hell. And I was happy before. I was happy, damn it. So you can see how that might affect some people, is that we don't know if what we're going to say to someone, what we're going to tell them, how we're going to tell them to live their lives, what decisions that they need to make for themselves, that might cause more harm than good. Now, I believe that you can espouse, we can espouse our infinite wisdom onto somebody who asks for it. If somebody asks me, what do you think? I'm going to tell them, this is what I think. If somebody is saying all kinds of stuff that I disagree with, am I going to stop them and say, no, that's not right. This is right. Depends on the person, depends on the subject. If I know for a fact in my mind that it's right and that they're wrong, yeah, this is where it gets a little sticky. They believe the world is flat. I believe it's a big round ball. You know, it can get sticky for some people because they're stuck on that belief system. So that's not the direction I'm going with this show today, but I wanted to bring that up. I get a lot of questions, and you know, this is one of those shows where people ask me questions and they do want to know what I have to say. And I want to be transparent and tell you that I don't know everything, clearly. I don't have the perfect solution every time. I'd like to think that what I do share on this show is unique. It is a different perspective. It is sometimes the opposite of what you may normally hear from other people. And I think that's what makes this show unique. I'd like to think so. But I don't come on here professing to have all the answers. I just give you my opinions, give you my insights. And so what I share may or may not work, but my philosophy is always do what works for you. Do what works for you. And how do I know it works for me? This is how I do it. I look at my life and I ask myself, am I getting the results I want? If I'm making the money I want, then those results might be good and I won't have to change anything unless I'm making the money I want and I'm unhappy. Whoa, there's a result I don't want. Why am I unhappy? Is it because of the money? Maybe it's because I'm putting 80 hours a week of work in. You know, I'm just making something up. Putting 80 hours a week in my job and I'm making all this money, but I have no time to enjoy it. I have no time to spend with family, with friends. I have no time to enjoy life. I want to enjoy life and I can't do it because I'm putting in so much effort at this other thing. I look at my results, and I think that's important. We look at our own results. Am I getting what I want in my life? Are the results are satisfactory to me? Are they positive? Do I want to continue getting these results? And do I want to continue piling on top of those results with more good results or good results on top of good results? That's what I'm trying to achieve, getting to that point of good results on top of good results instead of bad results on top of bad results, or even bad results on top of good results. We want to try to go in the direction that gives us the best results, and that's what tells me if I'm going in the right direction. Am I getting the results I want? Am I happy? Maybe I'm not happy in every area of my life. Maybe I'm happy in these areas, but not this one. So I need to change something about this part of my life. And then some people will say, but I can't. I can't do it. I have no option to change that. It is not one of my choices. I have no choice but to continue doing what I'm doing. That may be true. This is where I say, yeah, you might not have a choice. Now, I could give you some guidance here by saying you may have a choice, but you don't like it. That's my girlfriend tells me that all the time. She says, well, you do have a choice. You just don't like the choice you have. That's true. In almost every case, that's true. Well, I can't do it because I'll be homeless. But you can, and you'll be homeless. It's a choice, but I don't want that choice. I know. I get it, and I agree. I don't want that choice either. But it is a choice. And then this is where, and I've had to face that choice before. I've had to face it, and I did end up pretty much homeless. I was going to the soup kitchen with my wife when I was married for several months, and we were very lucky to be housed by her mother in a 600-square-foot apartment. Very small, but at least it was shelter. At least it was a bathroom, and we almost ended up in our car, and that still wouldn't have been as bad as being on the street or, you know, worse. It's, of course, I'm very grateful. But we had a choice. I had a choice to go to work and be in this job that felt like a prison. It felt like just, it was awful. I didn't like being there at all. I felt trapped. I felt like I had no choice. And at the time, my wife reminded me, well, you do have a choice. And I said, no, I don't. I don't have a choice. If I leave this job, if I quit, we have no money and we will have to get food at the soup kitchen. That's it. So I do not have a choice. And she said, I will support any choice you make. And I think I just started crying. What? You'll support any choice I make? Of course. And that's what changed my life, or at least that was one of the pivotal moments in my life when she said, I'll support the choice, because I didn't think I had a choice because I had to support her. But when she supported me, it was just, it was incredible. And so that day I quit. And she knew that we would end up going to the soup kitchen again. She knew that we would have to get up early and wait in that line. And then we'd have to go to the church and pick up our box of food. She knew that. And she just wanted to see me happy. And that has been a philosophy of mine as well when it comes to relationships. I want to see the person I'm with happy. That's all I want. I told my girlfriend, if you don't want to work because it makes you unhappy, quit and we'll figure it out. But Paul, that may not be a choice. Somebody might have 6 kids and they can't do that. You're right. And you do have a choice, and it would be a very hard choice, and it might not be a good choice. That's another thing. It might not be a good choice to quit when you have all these kids. And sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. But I don't like when we corner ourselves and tell ourselves we don't have a choice. It's just that we don't expand our mind to the point of accepting that sometimes we do have a choice, but we refuse to allow it to be a part of our reality. And something else my girlfriend taught me, she said, when you think you have no choice, write down all the choices you have, even if you know you will never decide that, even though you know you will never make that decision. So what that means is if you are working on building your savings account, you're working on building your savings account, but you know you can't do it. No matter what you do, you know you can't do it. Write down all the things that you could do to make money. And she said, it doesn't matter how crazy the idea is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all, because what you're doing is you're getting yourself out of that box of thinking that you always have that makes you think you don't have any other choice. So you get yourself out of that box and write down all this crazy stuff, because what ends up happening is because you're outside of the box, you end up writing down certain things that might actually work. That might work. I wrote this down and I never would have considered that before, but that might work. And so I thought that was a great exercise. I don't really talk about it too much, but the idea of getting outside of your line of thinking, your pattern of thoughts, it takes you beyond what you believe to be something that can be a reality in your life. It takes you beyond that, because if you don't believe something can be a reality, you're not going to even consider going in that direction. And so I don't want to get too esoteric, but I think you know what I mean. If you decide that you're never going to be able to afford a new car, then you probably won't even try. You probably won't even start to go in that direction. So you never find out what loans there are and what interest rates there are and about, you know, trading your car in. You may never do that. And maybe that's a bad example, but maybe it's a great one, depending on where you are in life. And when you know there are more choices and there are more options, and you allow yourself to think outside the box, you might come up with a solution, or at least a direction. Anyway, circling back to what I said at the very beginning of this episode, we're actually going to talk about romantic relationships. I'm going to read maybe 2, maybe 3 emails on romantic relationships, the questions that I get or at least these three questions, and we'll see where we go with it. I have some thoughts, some ideas, some opinions. I haven't read these. I like to surprise myself to find out what I'm really thinking to help me go outside the box. That actually does work for me. When I am surprised by information, my thinking will go beyond my boundaries, my normal boundaries of thought. This is why some people can get on stage without preparing and put on a show. They actually think outside their normal patterns of thought, which sometimes your normal patterns of thought include anxiety, they include nervousness, they include the belief that you're not smart enough, the belief that you can't do it, can't do something. And when you believe that you know it'll come to you, then that can happen. And just to placate everyone here, sometimes you can go in unprepared and totally fail. So I'm not going to paint a rosy picture of what can happen when you just not prepare and just wing it. Because sometimes winging it, not always good. But I do believe when you know your stuff through and through, when you know what you know, that it definitely comes to you. And when you're put on the spot, it will come. It will come. Now, at the same time, I've been a guest on shows and I've been thrown some curveballs where they said, "So, Paul, tell me what emotional abuse is." And I've been studying that for years and years. I've taught classes on it. I've teach the lesson over at Healed Being. I do so much with emotional abuse. And then somebody asked me a very basic question like that. And I go blank. What? Emotional? Oh my God, that's a huge bucket. It is when you want to change or manipulate. I mean, all this thought can be overwhelming sometimes. That's neither here nor there. I wanted to at least try to address everyone that might be thinking, hey, you know, you can't always wing it. You got to know your stuff. Yeah, you got to know what's in there. But I'm rambling, so I'll be right back. When I come back, I'll answer some of those questions and we'll see where we go with them. Be right back after this. Been listening a while, I talk about sleeping and not being able to sleep a lot. And this just happened to me. I told my girlfriend, "Wow, I just slept really great last night. What's different?" And it didn't take long just to say, "Wait, we changed the sheets." We changed the sheets to something brand new. It's from Etitude. It's sustainable bedding made from the world's first non-toxic bamboo fabric. This was our first time trying out these sheets, and they were so cool. They were so breathable, and they helped us feel our most rested and energized the next day. It was amazing. I actually slept later than I should have, but it felt so good, and it was wonderful to get into these light, buttery sheets. It's like a shortcut to true beauty sleep. And right now, Etitude is offering the Overwhelmed Brain listeners $25 off their first bedding order with the code BRAIN. The Etitude team is so sure you'll love their new sheets that you can try them 30 nights risk-free and return them, no questions asked. And don't worry, each sheet, pillowcase, and everything in between is given a second life through their take-back and donation programs. So don't forget, you can get $25 off your bedding order for a limited time when you visit etitude.com/brain. Let me spell that for you. It's like the word attitude, except with an E. etitude.com/brain. etitude.com/brain. That's happy sleeping, and I am down to my last few magic minds, and that scares me. I need to get some more because I love tea. I love my caffeine, and I have to regulate it because sometimes I like to drink too much. Like maybe today I drank a little too much, and I don't know about you, but when you drink too much caffeine for a long time, what happened to me is I start to get tired. It doesn't have the same effect. It doesn't give me any energy. and I just have too much caffeine in my system, and I need something to regulate my intake of it and to regulate my energy levels, and Magic Mind does just that. It's this little shot that improved my morning so much I drink it whenever I need a quick energy boost. Magic Mind reduces your need for additional caffeine by extending the benefits of caffeine. It makes less caffeine do more and last longer. If you go to magicmind.co/brain, you'll get the limited 40% off subscription and 20% off one-time purchase offer. That's two words, magicmind.co/brain. Use the code BRAIN when checking out and you'll get 20% off. The 40% off code only lasts 10 days as of this recording, so hurry up, magicmind.co/brain. Welcome back. Glad you are still here. Segment 2 of The Overwhelmed Brain. And I'm going to just rapid fire these emails off and see if I can reply to them really quick. I can't give like a full, extremely detailed reply to everyone that writes to me, and I do apologize about that. But I'm going to do my best to give you everything I know in as short of a reply as possible. So here we go. First one is, I'm thinking about leaving my boyfriend for 6+ years, but I don't want to give up on him. However, I feel I may have already given up on him. We have discussed on how to improve our sex life, and it doesn't seem he takes it seriously. He doesn't initiate. He doesn't seem attracted to me. He takes care of himself. I have to plan sex, and sometimes he delays it as much as possible, and it doesn't make me feel good about myself. We will go for weeks without much physical contact. I asked him to help with an issue because I left town and my dad almost died and all this stuff was going on. And he said no, he had too much on his plate. Just one example of many. We live together and this issue that has been going on in my home for months still isn't handled. Even though I'm asking for his help, I feel like he is a supportive partner, or he has a supportive partner in me, but I don't get that from him. I feel like I've lost myself in this relationship because I put the relationship first. I feel like I might have too much resentment to even let him fix it. That's it. No question. That's just somebody maybe venting, but possibly asking, what do you think? And that's how I'm going to treat this. What do you think, Paul? I don't think you have a relationship, honestly. I think this is very one-sided, very unbalanced. And when you have somebody that doesn't seem to be putting in any effort, then you don't have a partnership. You don't have a relationship. You have something that maybe you're holding on to because you've invested in it and because you loved it when it was great. But where it is now, it doesn't sound good. It doesn't even sound like it's something you enjoy at all. This sounds like a lot of work. And in my experience, a good relationship, yes, takes work, but it shouldn't be hard. There should be difficulties. There should be challenges because you're two different people. You know, you're going to have different ideas and different values and things like that, and you have to work things out, but it shouldn't be hard. A good, healthy relationship shouldn't be hard, meaning you both are working at it. You're both putting in the effort. You're both committed to making it grow. When one person is committed to making the relationship grow and making it stronger and trying to find the time for the other person, if the other person doesn't do that, you're not relating, you're not in a relationship, and I don't see how you can continue calling that a romantic relationship because it's only one-sided. Now, that's painful for me to say because I know it's not pleasant to hear, but I think it's important that maybe you convey this. You know, I feel this is a one-sided relationship. If you're going to talk about this with this person, hopefully you are, this is unbalanced. It's one-sided. I do all these things and you don't seem to care. You don't seem to put any effort coming back at me, coming into the relationship. So are you still into this? Let's just ask the hard questions. Are you still into this? Are you still in love with me? That's one of the hardest questions I've ever had to ask. In one of my previous relationships, I asked, do you still love me? And she said, well, of course. But then I asked, are you still in love with me? And that changed everything. That changed my life. You may not get the answer you want, but it's important to find out what that answer is. And if this person says, yes, of course I'm still in love with you, you want to know how they show it. I mean, the way things are going now are the way things are going to go tomorrow. Remember, what happened yesterday, what happened today, will happen tomorrow. So you have to ask yourself, will I be okay with the way things are going today, tomorrow, or next year, or in 5 years? If nothing changes, will this be okay? And this might be another conversation you have. You know what? If nothing changes, I can't be with you because I want to be with somebody that is as interested in growing this relationship and continuing to strengthen our bond. I want to be with somebody who wants that. And if he continues to say, well, I want that too, then you might have to say, I need to see that you want that. I don't feel it. I don't see it. It's not registering with me because what you're doing is pretty much ignoring everything I need and everything I want. I need something more. So this might take some very difficult honesty. These are hard truths, I call them. It might take some hard truths. And you need to find out these hard truths. You need to ask him questions. You're thinking about leaving your boyfriend. It's been over 6 years, and now he's suddenly changed? Or when did this start? When did these behaviors start? And you'll probably discover maybe something that started to go, or a time in the relationship when things started to go the wrong way, when things started to go downhill. Did something happen in the relationship? Did you have a conversation? Often relationships get to this point because the communication isn't honest enough. That's really what it is. This is relationships 101. The communication isn't honest enough. And now you have no idea why somebody is doing what they're doing, why they're distant, why they're emotionally disconnected, because you haven't been honest with each other, or at least transparent to the point where it's scary to talk about things. Like one of the things that you talk about is sex. What are your conversations around sex? Are they honest? This is what I would like. This is what I would like you to do. Is this possible? Can you do this? I mean, it doesn't have to be that cold of a conversation. You could say, hey, look, you know, I've been missing you. I miss you and I want more. And let's talk about this. Let's dive into this. Let's think about this. Let's work this into our love life. Let's work this into our relationship. You want to talk about this stuff and be transparent, knowing you may not get good results in the conversation. Those are the hard conversations. Those are the hard truths that you need to pull up and pull out of somebody else that's not sharing. And that's what I did in one of my relationships. And when I said, you know, are you in love with me anymore? What's going on? And she said, well, not like I should be. That's what I needed to hear, even though it was the worst thing to hear. But I needed to hear it. I needed to know where they were. And this is what you need to know. You need to know where they are. What do you want in this relationship? Do you want to get married? Do you want to have kids? What do you want? You know, scare them. Tell them, this is what I'm thinking. At least this is what I want in a relationship. What do you want? And then just be clear. That could change. That could make the changes that you want to see, or it could finally give them the door that they walk through that takes them away. That is one of the results of being transparent, is that you might find out a truth that you don't want to hear. Thanks for writing. I'm so sorry you're going through this, and I do hope you are able to have an honest, transparent conversation with this person so that you can move on with your life, with or without him. You deserve to know the truth. You deserve to know what you're going to do with your life. And when you're sharing it with somebody else and they're not on the same path, you might have to take a different path. Or you might have to say, hey, I'm going to take this path. If you want to come with me, you are welcome. But let's talk about this. Let's get on the same page. Thanks again for writing. I'm going to go right to this next one. And this is from someone I think I connected with her a long time ago because I recognized the name. I'm not going to read you the name. She didn't give me permission. But she said, hey, I've been listening to your podcast for years. It's not only helped me in my emotional intelligence, but I'm passing lessons on to my children. I have a 12-year-old that's starting to go through all the normal 12-year-old issues with friendships and relationships. Do you have any podcasts or episodes that you can recommend that are appropriate for teenagers? Thanks so much. Yes and no. Yes. Yes, I do. I think I have one episode that I dedicated to kids. There might be two out there, but I know there's one called the kids episode. And if you go to the Overwhelmed Brain and type in the word kids in the search field, you'll find it. And that will be helpful. I do talk to probably around that age, 12 years old. I talk to the kid that might be listening. The kid, I mean, children or young adults that might be listening. And every show that I create, I try to keep family friendly so that everyone that listens with their kids doesn't have to worry about, you know, things I'm going to say that the kids might say, hey, dad or mom, what's that? What was he saying? Because that might be a conversation you're not ready for, but that's not the point. My point is I do have a kids episode out there, and yes, I probably do have specific episodes for kids, and those are going to be, that's going to be tough because kids face such different issues. I do talk about kids. I tell you what, I'm going to do this right now. I'm going to pause. I'm going to search through my transcript, and I'm going to name a couple episodes that might be helpful to you. Be right back. Okay, the magic of recorded audio. I'm able to pause for many minutes and come back in 2 seconds. I did find two episodes that will be, I think, useful for children or young adults. The Everyday Bully and Bullying Behavior, that's one of them. Again, go to theoverwhelmedbrain.com and you can look up the word bully in the search field. That's the Everyday Bully and Bullying Behavior. And then also the kids episode for kids and the kid in you. So those two were specifically, well, the bullying episode's for everyone, but the kids episode was specifically for kids. But the bullying episode, of course, I think a lot of kids can relate to that. I tell my story about when I was bullied as a kid and what I did to get past that, get through it. And so those are going to be maybe two episodes. You know, as an adult, as a parent, you might want to listen on high speed first, at least to the bullying one, make sure there's nothing inappropriate in there. But again, this is a family-friendly show. I try to talk to everyone. And believe it or not, there's a lot of young adults and even children that listen to this show and get a lot from it. It just depends on what they can relate to. There's a lot of episodes I do that are not romantic relationship-oriented. And so that can be very helpful to them. But yes, you're right. There's a lot of children-specific challenges that will happen in their lives. And who's addressing those? There are probably other shows for that. Though I will keep this in mind going forward so I can maybe come up with something that a lot of children can relate to. A lot of children, young adults, young teens. I don't know how young children will listen to this, how young they'll get, but I do understand the plight of children. A lot of children have anxiety, and I do have episodes on anxiety. However, they have material that maybe a child may not necessarily understand. They don't have enough life experience, and it might be a little too much too soon. So again, you could look for those episodes on anxiety because, oh, geez, as a kid, of course, I had so many anxiety dreams about school and friends or so-called friends and bullying. And I had all these anxiety dreams because I had real issues in school and growing up. Those are real issues that children face, and they're not full of adult life experiences. So they have to try to figure it out as they go or find a mentor or a parent that understands what they went through and will listen to them and offer them suggestions or advice and not put them down for being weak or weak-minded or not strong enough or whatever. You know, I mean, there's so many things that children go through that they are trying to figure out on their own. This is why a lot of us grow up with dysfunctions. We tried to figure something out, and we did the best we could, and we developed some coping mechanism that worked at the time, but then we grow up and those coping mechanisms don't work in our adult life. Why not? We think this is how it's supposed to be. We think this is how we're supposed to act in relationships. But then we lose relationships and people don't want to be around us. And we think, why? And we blame them because we think, what are you talking about? I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing the right thing. This is who I was. I always thought I was doing the right thing after I left home. I was a child until 35. I was holding on to all these childhood belief systems and all these ideas I had about how you're supposed to treat people. And I thought it was okay to be judgmental and critical and even making people feel guilty. I thought that was okay because I learned certain skills, I guess you could say, characteristics, traits as a child that I believed were okay to have. And when I didn't know they weren't okay and nobody told me, they didn't know how to tell me. They didn't know what was happening. They just left or didn't want to be around me. That's when I started learning that, oh, I'm doing something wrong. I'm actually the problem here. But it's so hard to figure that out unless somebody comes along and knows what you're doing. You know, they say, hey, you're being passive aggressive right now. Why don't you just be direct with me? I didn't know I was being passive aggressive. If you know that, then you can change it. But I didn't know it. I didn't know what that meant. Somebody told me one day, you're being passive aggressive. And I thought, what? Well, I'm not. I'm not aggressive. That's how I took it. I'm not aggressive. No, you're not being direct. At least this is what I figured out a lot later in life. You're not being direct. And so I learned to start being direct. I learned to start honoring myself. It's another thing children have to go through. They have to figure out how to honor themselves and get through the fear of doing that, because sometimes they're not taught that. Sometimes they're taught by older people, adults, parents, what they're supposed to do to honor themselves, protect themselves. And some of the adults in their lives aren't necessarily good role models for that. The adults in my life, definitely not. They were not good role models. My mom had no boundaries. She has them now. She has very good boundaries now. But she didn't back then. And that's how I learned. I learned from her. Not that she taught me. I just absorbed it. I saw how she acted around people. And when she was challenged, she would just give in. And she also taught me what denial was like. You know, let's deny the challenges in our life and pretend they're not there and not deal with them. And so I was anti-confrontational. I was averse to confrontation and I avoided it at all costs. And that costs me a lot. That cost me a lot. So I learned to honor myself and confront when I needed to. Kids don't have a lot of those tools. They don't understand that those are very valuable. So I could go on and on. There's a lot to talk about clearly, and I have to think about it for a while. So I can't promise when I'll talk about that in a future episode, but that is definitely on my mind now. Thank you so much for sharing that. Good to connect with you again. I do know your name. I looked you up, and I appreciate you sharing that. We'll connect again soon, and I'm going to go right into this final email. I'm doing this in rapid fire format. Person wrote, Paul, I'm totally overwhelmed, not by love. My girlfriend from 10 years almost has shown no interest in me anymore, but for some reason still wants me to be around. We live together and I frankly can't stand to be there anymore. We went from volcanic hot to ice cold, especially after I told her that I would not get married again. I also want to change careers and be adventurous, not homebound, since the stupid pandemic. No one gets it. I can't find the right therapist. So hard for me to talk to anyone. Help. Okay. Wow, this sounds very familiar. Like the first email I read. Thank you so much for sharing that. Sorry you're dealing with this. And this is another one of those that you didn't really ask a question. You said, help. I'm not sure how to help. It sounds like this relationship is riddled with incompatibilities. You don't have the same values. You don't want to get married. You didn't say she does, but I'm assuming she does. And maybe she wants what she can get, but can't get all of you. So she sticks around to get what she can. I've seen that happen before. Somebody sticks around in a relationship to get what they can because they don't want to be alone, but they want more. but they don't want to be alone and they don't want you to go. They don't think they can get what they can get in a relationship anywhere else but you, but they can't get enough. So it's a never satisfying relationship. It just doesn't go anywhere. When you have two people that have wildly different views of what the relationship is supposed to look like, and you can't even meet in the middle with most of them, you're just on two different paths and you just happen to be with each other, but not really. So I don't think I'm telling you anything you don't already know. You said it used to be volcanic and now it's ice cold. Well, what's the reason for that? You said it was the pandemic, or at least it was since the pandemic. That would be a great question to ask. You know, since the pandemic, our relationship has gotten really sterile, really cold. And, you know, I don't know if you want to say it that way, but ask questions like, what is different? Why is this different? What's going on? And see what she says. And maybe even bring up the hard truths like I talked about earlier, where you say, look, I said I wasn't going to get married. Is that what this is about? That would be a great question. You know, I don't want to get married, and this is why. I want to be adventurous in this, which honestly is not a great excuse. It's not a great excuse if you want to be adventurous and that's why you don't want to be married. If you're with somebody who wants to be adventurous with you, whatever that means to you, then you can be married and do it together. There are many things you can do while you're married. What she probably hears is, I don't want someone to hold me back. I don't want someone to tie me down. I don't want to drag a dead weight around. If she hears that, that's going to be hard. And if she wants to be married, and if she wants kids, if she wants to settle down, then maybe this isn't your time. Sometimes people meet at the wrong times. Sometimes people meet when one of them is still active in many areas of life and wants to do different things and wants to spread their wings, and the other one is ready to settle, is ready to make peace, ready to find peace and comfort and live a different type of life because they've already done that. That's a conversation my girlfriend and I had recently, where she wanted to continue being active and go skiing and just be a physically active person. And then she met me. I have been a physically active person all my life. And then we moved into a neighborhood that had a lot of hills and we don't like walking on it. And it's difficult. It's difficult to just go outside and take a walk on a flat path because there are no flat paths around here. So it's changed our lives. And we both work from home, so we don't really leave home too much except to eat sometimes and meet with friends. And so we're talking about what we can do to liven up our lives, to get us more physically involved with other things, not just hanging out together, not just sitting on the couch, not just talking to each other all day long. As special as that is, it's one person that you know everything about, and it's impossible to give your brain any type of newness or novelty to help it. What's the word? Neuroplasticity. It needs to stretch and it needs to go beyond what it knows. And if you are in the same place with the same people talking about the same things all the time, it doesn't stretch too much. So you need to expand that. And this is probably you. You probably want to expand your mind and you want to live your life differently than she does. And maybe she's already done that and maybe she has no interest in doing that. Who knows? You know, I don't know all of your story, but if that's her, if she has no interest in doing that and you do, I see a big incompatibility. And because of that, that doesn't mean you're bad, she's bad. It just means now's not the right time. Maybe 5 years for you going out and being adventurous is going to be what she needs from you when you're ready to settle down a little bit. Maybe it'll be 10 years, maybe 20, maybe never. But you do have to look at this realistically and see that perhaps that there are incompatibilities here and maybe you won't be able to get past them today. Maybe later. Maybe you need to take a break from each other. And if that's scary, I get it. I get it. Like, if I take a break, what if I lose her forever? It's possible. But at the same time, you need to follow the path that you see for yourself, because if you settle for something that you're just doing it for someone else, or you just think, well, maybe this is good enough, then you might hold on to a resentment throughout the relationship and not be able to get past it. And so you'll be happy in some areas, but that resentment can grow and it can stay with you and it can appear in other areas of the relationship and it can cause a lot of problems. This is why I was talking about transparency before. You have to be transparent. You tell someone that you care about, this is what I want to do with my life. This is what I want to do. And if they say, I support that, I want that for you too. I want you to be happy. You know, if you want to stay in this relationship, I'm going to support that 100%. If you want to travel the world for 6 months to a year, I'm going to support that 100% because I love you and I want you to be happy. And if that's what makes you happy, that's what makes me happy. That could happen. Or they could say, wow, I don't want that at all. I want somebody that's going to be around 24/7 so we can have long chats by the fireplace. If that doesn't resonate with you, if you have a conversation like this and what you value, they don't value, then you have to have a realistic conversation about where the relationship's going to go. So I don't know if I've given you anything that will be helpful to you. You said you've been in this relationship for 10 years. That's a long time. 10 years is a huge investment. And you probably don't want me to say, well, you're just incompatible. Just break up and do something else. No, I don't even want to say that. I want to say, have the real conversation. Have the hard conversation. Say something like, you know, I'll put myself in your shoes. We've been together 10 years and I need more. I love you and I want you in my life, but I want to travel. I want to be adventurous. I want to go rock climbing. I want to go, you know, hang gliding, whatever it is for you. I want to do this stuff. Will you do this stuff with me? You want to try this stuff? And if she said no, I would ask, well, is it okay? Will you be okay if I go do some of this stuff? If she said, well, of course, because I love you and I want you to be happy, then maybe it'll work out. But maybe it's gotten cold, like you said, because you don't want to marry and you've attached all this restriction to marriage, all these guidelines to marriage that you think exist. And maybe in your mind they do, or maybe in your life you've seen it happen. Like once you get married, you got the ball and chain. It shouldn't be like that at all. In fact, marriage is supposed to amplify what you already have. And that's how I look at marriage. If you talk about marriage and what you already have is great, marriage is supposed to amplify that. It's supposed to feel more concrete, more solid, and what you have, if it's already great, is even better. It's supposed to be like that, in my mind. It's supposed to be like that. And when what you have is either dysfunctional, incompatible, or if it's not whole or incomplete, it's not a good feeling when you're together, if there are problems, then marriage doesn't solve those problems. Marriage usually exacerbates them. It amplifies them. So whatever you have today amplifies. So did you want to get married ever and now you don't? And that's what this change of heart is all about? Is this is why it's cold now? Are you putting in the effort that she would want to see? Are you supporting her path? What are you doing for her that makes her feel special? Like she knows you want her to be happy. What are you doing to show her that she feels 100% supported by you? So that has to be in there as well. And if you are unable to do that because you don't feel like you can support her or her lifestyle or her choices, then it's a gift to tell someone that I can't do that for you. It's a gift. You tell them, this is what I'm able to offer you, but I won't be able to do the rest for you. How is it a gift? It's a gift because you finally give them a truth they can work with. You put your truth on the table and they can say, well, then it's not going to work out. Or you can say it's not going to work out. But the conversation has to be had. You have to be open and you have to find out, you know, why do you think it got so cold? Ask her that and answer yourself. Answer that question yourself. And see what kind of conversation comes up. This is why I think it got cold, because XYZ. I don't know if anything I said helped, but I hope it has, and I hope you have something to consider. Definitely have the conversation when relationships get into these challenges where you feel stuck and you're not going forward. These are the kind of conversations my girlfriend and I have. We talk about why the relationship isn't going forward or why there are stuck areas. And it's not always easy. It's not hard, but it's not always easy. It can be difficult. It can be challenging. But overall, it shouldn't be hard. It should be something that you are able to freely talk about with someone else. Hey, look, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I need. I want more of this. Can we talk about this? If you're unable to have a conversation like that with somebody in your life, then you have to question if you're with the person that you can be honest with and genuine with and be yourself around, which I think is the most important. Thanks for joining me today. And thank you for writing again, everyone that's written. And if you've written to me and it's probably still in my inbox, I hope to get to it soon. I cannot tell you how long it's going to take. Sometimes it takes a long time, but I do eventually get to them all. So thank you for listening today. We'll be right back with my thank yous and my goodbyes and my final words right after this. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I'm going to start off by thanking the patrons of the week as Daisy, Stephen, Brad, Winnie, Nathan, Jamie, and Holly. Thank you so much for your support. These are the patrons. I call different names every week. They financially support the show, and I am so grateful for their support. If you find value in this show like these patrons do, I'm going to give you a place to go, and you can help out. moretob.com. You can go over there and you'll see options to give back. Thank you, patrons. I appreciate you. Head over to moretob.com if you'd like to give to the show, become a patron, one-time donation, up to you, or just gift me with your presence every week. I'm glad that you are here. Thank you again, patrons. I appreciate all of you. For a show on how to deal with difficult relationships, something we like to talk about a lot, over at loveandabuse.com. Head over there if you want to hear my other podcast. It's called Love and Abuse. Loveandabuse.com is the website, and you can listen to all the current episodes. Got one coming out soon, in fact. But I talk about emotionally abusive relationships over there, controlling, manipulative behavior, and how to deal with that, how to work with it, how to manage it, maybe how to talk transparently with somebody that's difficult in your life. So, again, check that out over at loveandabuse.com. And if you are the difficult one in the relationship, you heard me talk about it at the very beginning of this show, go to healedbeing.com. And that's where I help emotionally abusive people who want to change, who they want to heal. That's where I help them do that. It's a very comprehensive program, very successful and effective program. If that's you or somebody you know, healedbeing.com. And finally, thanks to Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And, you know, thinking about like a kids episode, some of the titles that I'm thinking of, I could call this episode, some of the titles came to mind were When Your Parents Are Being Jerks. Not that you are parents, but the kids, they have a different perception. They see you differently. They think that when you say no, it isn't for their own good. It's because you're a jerk. So that's one of the titles I thought of. When Your Friend Is Being a Jerk, another jerk title, but that's what happens when you're a kid. Some people can be jerks. So there's two titles with jerks. When No One Understands What You're Going Through. That's certainly a kid issue, right? How about this one? When Someone on Social Media Makes You Feel Like a Loser. That's another title. Social media, it's a big one. How about this one? When Someone on Social Media Makes You Feel Ugly. When Someone Embarrasses You. In fact, I actually have episodes on embarrassment. And this may be helpful to kids. So to the person who wrote, or anyone listening that has a kid that you think they might benefit from this, go to the overwhelmbrain.com and type in the word embarrass in the search field, and you'll find an episode or two in there. I also have another episode for kids. It's got a really long title, but the first part of the title is called Kids Humiliating Kids. So look for that at the Overwhelmed Brain website as well. And that might be helpful too. I could actually do a ton of episodes on social media and what that has done psychologically to adults and children. But I'm not sure if I'm going to do it. I'm not sure how many kids episodes I'm going to create. I do talk to a certain demographic, a certain target person here. And any kid that listens, I'm talking to you as an adult. Because if you're listening to a show like this, you've got an adult mindset, or at least you are in a mature space inside mentally and emotionally. And you want to continue maturing that, and you want to continue evolving that and grow into someone maybe with fewer dysfunctions than me, than stuff I've had to go through, some of the emotional triggers that I've had throughout my life. Maybe you won't have them because you're starting early. I didn't start till my mid-30s. I had to heal a lot, or at least experience a lot, and then heal a lot, and lose a lot of people that I cared about because I carried a lot of dysfunction from my childhood into my adult world. And hopefully you won't end up doing the same thing. And there are a lot of young people that listen to this show, and I hope you're getting something from what I talk about over here. And it does remind me, like, I do have a Facebook group, in case you don't know. It's called the Facebook... No, it's not called that. It's called the Overwhelmed Brain Empowerment Group at Facebook, so just look for that. And you can just ask to join, and you just have to answer two questions. You do have to be 18. We do talk about a lot of things that may not be appropriate for anyone under 18, but, you know, if you are listening to this show, it probably is I don't know, but that's one of the rules. So if you want to join, you can have conversations over there as well. Would love to see you over there. And I'm probably going to post a question in there regarding a future kids episode. So that might be something that happens as well. And finally, I did think about this when I was working on this final segment. When I was a kid, I wanted to be talked to like an adult. I wanted to be treated more maturely, even though I wasn't mature. I was still a kid. I was playful and things like that. But it would have been nice. I felt like it would have been nice if I received more adult kind of conversations. And I don't mean like, let's talk about taxes and stuff like that. I mean, instead of saying, you're just a kid, you can't handle this, go away, which sometimes happened, I would have a real conversation. Like somebody came up to me and said, okay, look, this is very strong stuff. This is very strong stuff that we're going to talk about. And you may not understand it all, but if you'd like to be a part of it, you're certainly welcome. But just know that you may not be prepared for what you hear, and you may not understand everything you hear, and there might be adult words thrown around that they might throw you off, but you're welcome to stay. I'm not saying this is going to work for everyone. I'm not saying that's a good idea. I'm just saying when I was a kid, I think that would have been cool because I felt so dismissed when I was a child. I felt like I didn't matter. At least sometimes I felt like I didn't matter. Because a lot of the adults that came over to visit my family and things like that, some of them just dismissed me. I'm a kid, and they knew I was a kid, and of course a lot of adults don't want to talk to kids either. I get that. A lot of adults want to talk about adult things, and some kids talk about kids things, and it's hard to relate. It is. It's hard to relate to each other because you're on two different wavelengths. If a kid's listening now, you know what I mean. And if an adult's listening now, I hope that you are, you know what I mean too. You know what I mean. It's hard to relate sometimes to kids. Of course, we were all kids once, so we can all relate at some level, but not all kids were adults. I know no kid was ever an adult, and this is what's happening, is we're on two different wavelengths, and that can cause issues as well. But that's all I have to say. There might be more that I talk about in the future when it comes to talking directly to children. But for now, I'm just going to keep an open mind because that's how I step into my power. And that's how I want you to step into your power too. Keeping an open mind helps you create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure and above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you. You are amazing.